that we needed to pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the matter of spiritual growth that you have brought before us. Thank you for this issue. You will help us to give attention to our spiritual growth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are trusting that even as we take this final instruction, that you will instruct our hearts. Please, Lord, we are waiting. We are waiting for you to tell us what you want us to hear. Be exalted forevermore. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Again, I want to thank the Lord for thus far he has helped us in this meeting. The fact remains that the Lord has helped us. I know that he has helped me as a person. And I have no doubt he has helped you. Even if we should share the grace now, I will not regret why I came from the east to this place. The Lord has helped my life. You know, some of you think we came to preach to you. We did not come to preach to you. We came to hear God. And thank God, that's why you see us taking our notes. And for me, in order not to miss anything, I record with my phone. Praise the Lord. Because I also need to go back and listen to all that God said from the opening charge. So, I'm glad I'm here. And all that God has done and all that is yet to do, we shall see the performance. In the name of Jesus. Just for us to pray, finally, I will be trusting the Lord to guide us on a very serious matter. And I'm also praying for grace to respond to it. We have been dealing with the matter of beholding the glory, His glory. And God has been coming to us in various ways, in various dimensions. And we give Him praise. This evening, I want us to consider this topic. Eyes on the future glory. Eyes. Eyes. E-Y-E-S. On the future glory. Fixing your eyes on the glory ahead. Let's read some scriptures before we begin. First, that Romans we read yesterday. Romans chapter 8. Because of time, I will just read verse 18. Then we go to 2 Corinthians and read a few passages there before we maybe read one more place and we continue, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17 and verse 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May the Lord again bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. It's not going to be a teaching just for us to pray. Eyes on the future glory. The Lord has been confronting us on this matter of glory, both the glory in the now and the glory ahead of us. Now, what I'm perceiving that the Lord wants to do is that He wants to show us how to continue even in the process that we bring you into that glory. A secret. You hear me witness that you may have attended meetings. Where God moved mightily, and you had convictions, you took decisions. But what happened after the meeting? You noticed that Moses spent 40 days with God on the mount. It was a great meeting, great communion, wonderful fellowship. And he came down with a tablet of stone written by the finger of God. But the reality of the whole matter dawned on him when he landed in the camp. And what confronted him in the camp did not allow him to sustain tablet of stone he labored for 40 days to collect. I hope you are following me. It's possible that you made up your mind that look, I will not change again in any exam. No more. And your parents gave you money for your WAEC and they said, this is the last. And you enter the hall and you are going to take mathematics. You change from question 1 to question 10. You don't have any idea. It's not even that you tried but you didn't. You know, a good mathematician teacher that is experienced will not only check the answer you wrote, he will check how you got the answer. So when they are marking it, they don't just mark the answer. Sometimes you may get the answer wrong, but we check. He will check the roots. Because someone who is coming from the east to Suleja and he has arrived, he arrived Lokoja before he missed road. Shebi, he tried. It's right. But for you to miss road from Niger Bridge on Onitsha, you didn't try at all. So the teacher can give you pass a little small mark because you tried. Hallelujah. And you'll be looking at the question and a teacher will just come around and say, do you need help? That will be when the reality of your decision will dawn on you. My daughter took her NECO, this last NECO. And one of the teachers was so caring, in quotes. He knew that my daughter, even in the hall, she was not part of those that were cheating. So she felt maybe it's because she was in the hall. So the day, I think it was mathematics that we were going to take. I can't remember the subject. He forwarded the question paper to my wife. To my wife. In her WhatsApp page. And my wife said, what is the meaning of this? He said that my daughter should go through it. Imagine NECO. Exam they have not taken. No. A teacher has already forwarded the question papers. And my wife said, sorry, we don't do a thing like this. Maybe he only saw my wife when she took my daughter to go and register. She doesn't know her. And I'm not sure my wife will tell him her story to let him know that she left her certificate in UNM and returned to secondary school and sew uniform to retake WAEC. Because the WAEC she entered UNM with. She got it through examination malpractice. But when she encountered the Lord, she can't continue with that. So she left the school, returned back. She was pregnant when she was taking WAEC. She sold school uniform, joining the class. The teacher didn't know her. So she deleted it. Now why am I bringing all this? I know what God wants to deal with. There is one thing that will help you to survive what awaits you after here.
Some of you, your husbands are not here. And likewise, some of our sisters. Some of our brothers, your wives are not here. They have not been following what God has been saying to us and the dealings on our lives. When you return, the reality will now dawn on you. How do you sustain this? How do we sustain this thing that God has been dealing with? How do we sustain this matter that God has been raising until it becomes life in us? That is what God wants to deal with. And he says, fix your eyes on the future glory. Brother Paul says something here that I don't understand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 18, say, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at what? At the things which are not seen. How can you look at what are not seen? I don't understand. I don't know whether you understood. Did you understand? He said we don't look at things which are seen. He said they look at things which are not what? Which are not seen. How? I discovered that this man that entered into this glory, they have eyes that can see the invisible. And I want us to know that because when we talk about glory, you'll be surprised that some people may be thinking that since this glory has come, there will be no problem again. But Brother Paul said that he reckoned that these present time sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If we are going to sustain what God has done in our lives in this meeting until we step into this future glory, which is the ultimate, our eyes must be fixed on that glory. Are we together? You remember Brother Peter? One day they were crossing the sea. They were in the boat, and the wind, there was a great storm. And Jesus was not with them. But at midnight, as they were struggling, in fact they lost hope. They saw someone walking on the sea, coming towards them. And they became afraid because they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus knew that they were afraid. So Jesus said, fear not. It is me. And you know Peter, he said, if it is you, Lord, tell me to do what? Tell me to come. And what did Jesus say to him? Say, come immediately. He left, he walked out of the boat, and he started walking on water. Why his eyes were fixed on who? Are we together? On Jesus. But before he came to Jesus, what happened to him? He saw the storm. He turned away from Jesus. And he started looking at the storm. And what happened? He started sinking. So let me ask you, what was it that was sustaining him while he was walking on water? His eyes on Jesus. You know, some of us, we think that if we just pray hard, problems will finish. There's nothing we are even going through now compared with what the apostles went through. Yet, what they went through did not form a prayer,
point or a prayer meeting
for them. Why? They never fixed their eyes on what they were going through. They fixed their eyes on where they were going. There is a glory that if we fix our eyes on that glory, we will not recognize all these small stones that Satan is placing on our path. You are not following me. I don't know. Thank God, all of us, we are coming from one denomination or the other. I don't know how many of us have seen a church that is trying to build a bigger cathedral that will take hundreds of millions of naira. And if they don't want the heart of the people to grow cold in supporting, what do they do? They draw the picture of that finished building. I don't know. Are we together? They will take a picture of that building, finished one, and they will place it at the altar. Say, this is what this building will look like when we finish it. They will park cars at the compound. You see white men sitting inside the church. So when they are demanding for money, they make sure that your eyes are on what? On the picture. So when you look at the picture, especially if you are coming from Orthodox churches, if you are coming from a Pentecostal church, it might not bother you much. Because the church, some of them belong to the pastor. So, if you are tired of worshiping, you carry your Bible and you do what? You go. But Orthodox churches don't belong to the man of God. It belongs to the people. If the man of God is no longer interested, he will carry his Bible and do what? And go. So, this is our church. Their excitement is that this beautiful cathedral will be in our village. So, you'll be bringing money. Is a strategy. I don't know if you're following me. And let me inform you that even God, before he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he advertised Canaan land before them. You remember? Oh, you don't remember again. They were in the land of bondage under their taskmasters. And God came talking about a land that flowed with what? Milk and honey. He made them to feast their eyes on that land. That was why Moses even cried that God should allow him. The vision of that land was in his mind. Those that perish in the wilderness, do you know why they perished? They lost vision of that land. So they desired Egypt. They said, why did you bring us out here? They forgot why they were brought out. They forgot that they were brought out to be taken in into that land that flowed with milk and honey. They say, why did you bring us out here? Why did you take us away from Egypt where we were eating cucumber? And then what again? Garlic and what again? Even onion. Say, why did you bring? They lost vision. They lost sight of where they were going. Can I inform you? Not even God will be able to satisfy a man who has lost the vision of heaven. His desire and his quest can never be satisfied. And that is the trouble that we are facing. What trouble are we even facing compared to what the early disciples faced? And they lived as if those troubles, those problems were not in existence. Because where their eyes were fixed on was so glorious that they couldn't remove their eyes to check what is calling for their attention by their side. Eyes on the future glory. I am begging God, because sometimes as the enemy will be bringing issues around us, before you know it, you will continue to concentrate on those things. They walk by you. You shall be strong how to solve this one. And as you are trying to solve this one, another one is springing up. We need to fix our eyes. That was how the early disciples lived. So Brother Paul said, look, we don't look at things that are seen. Excuse me. How? Do you know anything that can be seen? Do you know anything at all? Many things. Buildings, cars, certificates, human beings. Many things. Say, we don't fix our eyes on those things. Our eyes are on those things that cannot be seen. So, how did they manage to see what cannot be seen? How did they manage to fix their eyes on what cannot be seen? Say, that is where our eyes are. We have fixed our eyes there. That future glory. My sister, if you fix your eyes there, there's nothing anybody will do to you. That we even have access to your heart. If your eyes are fixed there, this world will look like nothing to you. It will look so small that you have no reason to struggle over anything. If your eyes are on that future glory, all the things that men of this world are dying for will no longer be an issue to you. If your eyes are on that glory, even your prayer life will change. Your prayer points will change. It is not difficult to know a Christian who has lost sight of where we are going. It is not difficult to know a man of God whose eyes have been shifted from the glory ahead of us. It will show in his message. It will show in what he's prophesying for. It will show in what he's pursuing. It will show in what he's giving emphasis on. It will show in what he's spending quality time on. If there's any prayer, we are going to pray. Because you see, discipleship is not so simple. It's not easy. But if your eyes are on the glory.
Oh my God. Even as a medical student, you know, if you are reading medicine,
and another person, your friend, is reading history. By the time once I graduated and even finished serving and have started working, you still be where? But why won't you just quit? By the time you finish,
of course, you'll be addressed as what?
And he finished, he's been addressed as what? No title.
Hallelujah.
Now, the joy of being a medical doctor, we keep you. Even when they will call you on the phone and say, are you still in the school? Say, I'm still there. Okay, send me your account. Let me send you something. The joy is just like a pregnant woman who is in labor.
Unmarried sisters will not understand what I'm talking about. Only mothers will understand
that she is entering labor room, and the nurse that is following her is following her with razor blade. But the joy of having a baby, when they say push, and she's like, she's at point of dying, she will continue to push. Why? The joy of having a baby will not allow her to do what? To rest and say, it's painful, I can't push again. No. The joy. And you know, when the day of her delivery is approaching, they will instruct her to begin to buy so many things. You know now? So she will buy baby wears, even though there's no baby. So there will be baby wears, many things. So the day she will go to hospital, she will do what? She will carry them in anticipation that she's going to do what? Carry her baby. So no matter what she may go through, that's why, see, women go through a lot in the labor room.
I hope you know. They go through a lot. That's why
a woman alone cannot effectively train up a child. Her child. You know, she can raise Cain up like this. But when she raises it up like this, she will remember the pain of 9 months pregnancy and the pain in the labor room on the day she delivered him. And when those gather themselves in her head, the pain will do what? Will come down. It will come down. But if it's the father, if the father raised the cane, what does he remember? The only thing he will remember is the hospital bill. So he will raise his eye again and hit the boy.
And as you'll be hitting the boy, the mother will be holding her heart. Mother, is it not true? They said
that a child, a dog trained by a woman, used to shit on the bed. I think they are coming from this angle. It's not her fault. There's no way she can help it. Because, you know, even my own children, I am not harsh on them, but is their mother. Praise the Lord. They are closer to their mother more than me. Even though I am not harsh, I do everything possible. I try to, you know, but that is that. They hardly even touch my phone, even though I will not quarrel with them. But they will handle my wife's phone anyhow. Even when my wife is rebuking them, they don't take it serious. My wife can be shouting, "You children, stop that now, stop that." They will be laughing. I said, "What's the meaning of this?" But if I just look at them like this, I didn't say a word though. Their brain will start to gather together. I just thought that I can't change it. It's like that. Hallelujah. The joy. Our elders that arrived. This happened to be their secret. If you doubt me, just try it for 1 week. Fix your eyes on that future glory where we are going. For 1 week, you will see. If your eyes are not on that future glory, you cannot even, you can't stay in discipleship. Unless your discipleship is just to come to class. If it is a discipleship that is a discipleship indeed, in not discipleship class, is where we advertise discipleship. Is a place where discipleship is being advertised. In case you are interested, after the class, then you come around. If your eyes are not on the future glory, you cannot endure the training of discipleship. It's not possible. You will run away. But for those whose eyes are on the future glory, whatever they may be going through in that training, they will still be looking at where the glory ahead, and they will keep moving on. Happened to be how our elders lived, and it is my prayer that he will help us to fix our eyes on the glory ahead of us. Hallelujah. That also is the secret of sustaining the glory in the now. Whatever glory that the Lord may release upon you or may reveal in you, now, if it is going to be sustained, your eyes must be on the ultimate glory. We have no time to begin to look at men of old. Yesterday we read about Abraham. Even when he came to the land of promise, he sojourned in tents because he looked for what? You are not answering me. I know you are tired. Shout hallelujah. He looked for a city that has foundations, whose maker and builder is who? Is God. All of them. Excuse me. How did Jesus endure the sufferings? In Hebrews chapter 12. What did the Bible say? Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't worry. In the next 15 minutes, we'll be rounding off. Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Who for the joy. Excuse me. Are you there? Who for the joy that was set before him endured what? The cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he, you know, overcome the challenge of the cross? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. There was a joy set before him. So, when he was carrying the cross, his eyes were aware on that joy that was set before him. You see the wisdom of the Father. He positioned the joy before him. So no matter the pain of the cross, when he looked like this and see the joy, he will gather strength to do what? To continue. He was crucified naked, despising the shame, because his eyes were aware on the joy that was set before him. So I'm realizing that even the Father did not just ask him to go and carry the cross without setting a joy before him. Now, what do you think would have happened if he had removed his eyes from the joy that was set before him? He would have not seen any reason to continue to bear the cross. I am praying because, see, the path to that glory is not pleasurable. It's not a sweet path. Some of us that God has brought this way, we have stories. We have what? Stories. When you look at some of us, you may think we are big men of God. We have stories. But what is sustaining us is our eyes on the joy that is set before us. Sometimes there will be nothing. I told us here how we were praying for matches in my house. We have small garden and small soup, but no matches to boil water. And no money, not even in the bank. I'm not sure the money I had in the bank that time. There's no way you can bring it out because it's not up to 200 naira. So how much will he give the POS person? And I was not led to call anybody. So we started praying for matches of 50 naira. We prayed, when we finished praying, we started waiting. From morning till 3 p.m., we are waiting for matches. For matches to arrive. 3 p.m. It was around 3 p.m. that one sister walked in. And we talked. After talking, she stood up to go. I didn't tell her that we were waiting for matches. When she opened her purse and brought 3,000 naira, she said she wanted to buy food, but she just had an indication that that might not be what we need, that should give us the money. And I said, sister, sister, let me tell you something. Since morning, we have been waiting for matches. Oh, you don't understand. We have been waiting for matches. You know you won't believe that because if you come to my house, you see two cars. This brother that has two cars is waiting for matches. That's why some brothers, they don't give me something. Because they fear that I'm a big man. How can you have a car and a chip and you say you are praying for matches? They don't understand. Matches. If your eyes are not on that glory ahead, you will not be able to endure the process that will bring you there. So your eyes must be there. Even as you are marching on stone until it's time to bend your leg, you do what? You remove your leg and use your leg doing like this. While your eyes are on the future glory. That was how men of God arrived. Even Jesus. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't look at the shame. He looked at the joy. I believe that God placed a joy before us. A glorious destination. A land that has no need of the electricity, no need of sun, no need of moon. That's where we are going. What is it that is so important here that you can turn and be concentrating on it? What is it? Is it a car? You have not seen cars. Better cars are yet to be built. Is it handsets? I remember when handsets started coming newly. You remember Samsung open and close. You know, women, when they do their hair like a cock, do hair like this. Hello? Excuse me, where is that Samsung today? Do you know you'll be ashamed even to take it to a door that repairing for say repairing for me? You'll be ashamed. You can't tell how many ladies that lost their glory because of BlackBerry. You know BlackBerry? Where is BlackBerry today? Even this one you are holding, you have not seen phone so. Building, say, ah, this is a wonderful building. You have not seen building. Just wait. What is it that we take my attention away from the joy that you set before me? Is it children? You see, I need to have children. Children that are passengers. It's just, you know, when we're praying that God will help our children, you may not understand. I know a brother who is going to pack out from his house for his son. He has two buildings. He lost his wife. And he was about to marry another. They gather and say, not, no way. So they laid allegation against him that he's one that killed their mother. They wrote petition to IG, Inspector General of Police. And Inspector General of Police transferred the matter to Enugu. And they came to arrest this brother in Onitsha. When they could not arrest him, they invited him. They went. And look at what the children wrote. That him and the wife he want to marry. That they killed their mother. It was not a small matter. It was just by divine intervention. I'm not telling you stories. And the one who is carrying him to the village where they were having meeting with the chief when the chief requested that I want to look into the case. Four times I was driving him to his village and he has these children. At the end, he gave two of his sons one two-story building. This one will take this three flats. The other one take three flats. For where?
The first son.
Who is living with a woman, a divorcee? Not one. She married the first one and divorced. Married the second one and divorced. And she carried the children and came into the house of their father, where their father is living, with this boy who has never married before. It's a long story. And this lady is a daughter of a Pentecostal bishop. The father is one of our lecturers when I was in Bible school. Now, the father said he's not going to live in the same house with that boy, that he can kill him. But the boy said he's not going to live in another house. The father said, get a house, I will pay. He said, no, it's this one. So the father now decided that he will pack out. On Tuesday, I slept in his house on Tuesday. So, we drove to the new house that he bought, where he will pack out to. A story building. He bought it 130 million. He will pack out to that one and leave. And leave the son. Imagine when a father is packing out from a house he built for his son. Terrible children. He imported one container of infarta for this boy to be managing. He squandered the money with that woman. The second son, he gave him 11 million. To do business, he finished it without giving accounts. They just want to keep so that they will collect everything. So the man decided to keep them. Is that what, if that is what that brother is living for, you agree with me that his life is already what? A regret and a waste. If his eyes are not on the future glory. So what is it? Is it children? Is it money? Cars? What is it? This brother I'm telling you is a disciple. He's a disciple. He's a disciple. Even brother Gwile knows it. Is a disciple who loves the Lord, who is committed to the. You can't remember how many brethren he has given cars. And the enemy, some of these rechargeable speakers that you see in Boko, he will just import them when we are doing MLA and shift to Boko for MLA. And the devil just decided to use the children. The only son that is remaining, who was reading medicine in Ukraine, he was almost in final year when the war broke out. And they trek to, is it this neighboring country before he moved to Germany. But to come back, he doesn't want to come back and he's not continuing the education. Millions spent like a waste. What is it that is worthy enough to take our eyes away from where we are going? My sister, fix your eyes on the glory ahead. The devil will bring distractions. You remember Esau and Jacob. You wonder why God said that he lost Jacob and he hated Esau. The eyes of Jacob was on the invisible. He was ready to forfeit the visible in order to purchase the invisible. You remember the before shares, the son of Jonathan. When David returned from running away from Absalom, You know what happened? How Mephibosheth came to meet him. And he discovered that from the day he left the throne, Mephibosheth never washed his face. He never wrote pomade. He never trimmed his beard. And his servant, Ziba, when Ziba heard that David has run away, he carried some things to David where he ran to. And David said, where is your master, Mephibosheth? He said, he said that, thank God though, that what has happened now is an opportunity for him to recover. His father's properties. And David, without prayer, told Ziba, for that reason, all the lands that I gave Mephibosheth, they are now yours. And Ziba said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And he went away. When David returned, Mephibosheth came to greet him. And he said, why didn't you follow me? And Mephibosheth said, you know I am crippled. I told Ziba to prepare the ass to carry me, but he deceived me. As he was talking, David says, it's okay. I have told Ziba to share the inheritance with you. But do you know what Mephibosheth said? If you read it from Living Bible, he said, Ziba can collect all. I am content having the king back. Ziba can take all. I am okay that the king is back. From the day the king left, he had been mourning for the return of the king. We are going to beg God to help our eyes, Christians. To help our eyes fix on the future glory. If you don't need that prayer, please, when we start to pray, pray for me. Yes, I know why I say you should pray for me, because I think I'm the only one that needs it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We have no time to talk about roots. To talk about Boaz. To talk about Moses. You remember Moses? Maybe we read about Moses and we'll be praying. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Who is invisible. We are going to pray. What is our prayer? Lord, help me to fix my eyes on where you are taking me to. Help me that my eyes will be on that future glory. It's a simple prayer. But that is what will sustain us in this path until we get there. That was what sustained the apostles until they got there. And that is the only thing. No matter what you may be going through in discipleship, that is what will sustain. No matter the glory that you may be seeing now, if you will not be lost in that glory, this is what will sustain you. Fix your eyes on the ultimate glory. Because no matter what you may experience here, if you did not enter heaven, it would have been better you were not born.
I hope you know.
You are not following me. Shout hallelujah. No matter what you may enjoy, you don't know how it was. He pained Moses. Moses spoke mouth to mouth with God. Imagine that measure of glory. But when he saw that he was not going to enter the land, he cried. He was a great man that God didn't even allow the children of Israel to know his burial ground. Yet he begged him that he didn't enter that land. No matter what you may be experiencing here, no matter how God promoted you, no matter what you may have, if you miss heaven, it would have been better your mother had miscarried you. Because the other side, how long will a man be there? You are not answering me. Oh, you are not following me. If you read the book of Esther, he not going fast in his behavior. And those counselors gave the king that terrible counsel. And they banned Vasi from appearing before the king. And they gathered all the virgins in the whole land. 120 provinces. Even close to Ethiopia. They gathered all the virgins. Beautiful ones. Not ugly ones. Beautiful ones. They gathered them before one disciple. What is the name of that brother? Is it Hagar? That eunuch. He walked on them, on those ladies, for 1 year. And after 1 year, they started going in to meet the king. And anyone that went in the night, and the king said, no, I'm not interested in you. I was thinking that one should return back home so that another man will marry her. But you know, she will not return home. There's a second room where she will be ushered. She will be eating, but she will never be queen. And she will never appear before the king. And she will not return home. There's a second room for those that arrived. And the king of kings said, I am not interested in you. There's a second room. What is the name of that second room? You are not answering me. What is the name of that second room? Hellfire. Not just hell. Hellfire. So my brother, my sister, may God help us to fix our eyes on that future glory in the name of Jesus. May nothing distract us. May nothing, not even lack of money. You may have nothing. Maybe you are not, you're up to age of marriage, but you are not married. Nobody showing up. Keep focused on where we are going. Over there, those that married will stand as if they never touched a woman. Over there, those that deliver plenty, they will stand as if they never married. Over there, those that built estates, we stand as if they never had one room. Over there, those that had cars, as if their house is garage. They will appear as if they never even had bicycle. over there. Though they have money in all the banks, they will not appear with even one naira. And what I'm telling you is not far from now. Let our eyes be fixed on where we are going. Are we together? It will not be long. He that will come will do what? He will come. Are you ready? May God help us. I say, may God help us. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, may it not shift our attention from the future glory. We'll be there in Jesus' name. It is my prayer that even if we didn't meet again, that on that day, I will recognize you. I say, sister, you made it. Say, yes, brother, bro, Wilson, you made it. Say, yes, I made it. We'll rejoice together. Here is not our home. It is the Jehovah's Witness people that are claiming buildings. If our hope in Christ is only for the things of this world, don't you know that among all men, we are most to be pitied? But here is not our home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel excited. There's a place where we are going. If the earth could not reach, don't worry. We have a better place. Was it Lazarus? I think Lazarus. He didn't have a place to even lay his head. No food. His hope was on the crumbs that fell from the big man's table. He entered his room. He's on the door, inside the dustbin, where he will go and check whether there's something they dropped. But in heaven, when he died, he had nobody to bury him. The angel came and carried him. The other man was buried. They did the burial well. And in hell, but behold, this one who was not even buried, an angel was sent from heaven to do what? To come and carry him. And in paradise, even this rich man was begging Abraham to allow Lazarus to do what? To dip his finger inside water. Abba, there's a place where we are going. May you not lose sight of that place. In the name of Jesus. Shall we rise as we pray? Can you beg God for grace? We are living here any moment from now. I don't know what the enemy has arranged against you at home. Maybe from the gate, as you knock at the gates, what will confront you may even make you to forget all that God has been saying. Can you pray for grace? Can you thank God and say, Lord, help me. Help my eyes. As for the wind. As for the problems, tribulations, persecutions, they may not cease. But if your eyes are fixed on the glory ahead, you will walk across them as if they don't exist. Imagine what Brother Paul went through. Imagine what Brother Peter went through. History told us that when they were about to crucify Brother Peter, he pleaded with them, said, please, give me a favor. Say, what is that? Say, turn me upside down. He was not praying that God should deliver him from that death. Say, turn me upside down in honor to my master. I am not worthy to be crucified the way he was crucified. A man that spoke like that, his eyes must be somewhere. Brother Stephen died joyfully, even praying for those that were stoning him, because his eyes were opened. He saw beyond the visible. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne. And he screamed and said, I see Jesus. My sister, pray that God, the revelation of where we are going will become withdrawn on you. It will become permanent in your heart. Where we are going, here is not our home. Whatever glory God has given you now, it's just to enable you to get to the ultimate glory. Heaven at last. My brother, heaven at last. My sister, dear. Where will we meet Abraham? Where will we meet Moses? We'll shake hands with them. We'll greet together. We'll be together to depart no more. Beg God for grace to fix your eyes on that ultimate glory. But the apostle said that he reckoned that the present time, the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And in that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. There is something that they were beholding. The glory. Their eyes were on that glory. That was their secret. That was their secret. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with us before I hand over. This matter is only God that can do it for us. I am begging Him for my own life. Distractions abound. Challenges here and there. That's in our to respond to all the challenges. Most of times, we lost sight of where we are going. We are going to pray that the Lord, who sustained men of old, that He will sustain us. It's not by power. It's not by might. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. He helped men of old. He will help us. Let's pray together. Can you lift up your two hands as we pray together? Just one prayer. And if God answers us, our lives will never be wrong again. What is even the pleasure of this world? Look at Moses when he saw that glory. He despised Egypt. He forsook Egypt. The Bible said that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. When Peter saw little glory on the mount of transfiguration, he forgot that he's a married man. He said, let's build three tabernacles here. He forgot himself. There were six on that mountain, but he said three tabernacles. That was what sustained the vision of the future glory. Lift that hands, let's pray together. Father, we thank you
We do not know how to thank you. You started with us since Thursday. And this time, you are showing us what will even sustain us, even in discipleship. What will sustain us, even in the glory in the now. What will sustain us, even when we have started a fire. What will help us not to be lost, even in the fire. And you said that it is our eyes being fixed on the future glory, on where we are going. Many of Israel, they left Egypt with every garment because they were so excited, they were so eager to step into that land. But on the way, they lost sight. They lost sight. And when they lost sight of that land, they started looking at Egypt again. Some of them started admiring the daughters of Moab. And 24,000 died in one day. Eternal Father, many of us, when we started our journey, our eyes were fixed on that glory. But along the line, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches took over, and we lost sight of that glory. Our Father, we are praying that you restore that vision of the glory ahead in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do not know what the enemy may have arranged against us at home as we'll be returning from this. But Lord, we are begging you that no matter what we may see, even on the road, he may even arrange one or other man to abuse one of us on the road to make you to forget. Lord, we are begging you, help our eyes to be fixed on our destination. Help us, Lord, never to be distracted. We are begging you, Lord. Because if you answer this cry, and our eyes are fixed on the future glory for 1 year, the evidence of it will become evident to any man that will see us. Even our discipleship training will take a new shape. All these struggles will cease. Please, Father, there's no challenge we are facing today that any disciples didn't face. But because their eyes were fixed on the future glory, they didn't give attention to those challenges. But today, the devil using many things to distract us. Father, please, feast our eyes on that future glory. In the name of Jesus, may nothing be worthy to distract us again. Nothing, not even a husband, not even a wife, not even money, nothing. Lord, may heaven be our dream. May heaven be our confession. May heaven be our pursuit. Lord, that even when we are discussing with people, help us to talk about heaven. Lord, help us that in anything we do, look at him and then look at his face. Was as if he was going to Jerusalem. Lord, I pray that from henceforth, any man that will meet us will perceive that we have set our face towards heaven. Lord, help us to achieve this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Father, For we know that this prayer is in accordance with your will. And that you will answer us. I don't know how you will do it. But we don't discover that all of a sudden, the only thing that matter before us is heaven. Lord, this is our cry. We used to think like that before first preachers came and said, don't be too heavily conscious that you become earthly useless. And in order not to become earthly useless, we lost the consciousness of heaven. Please, Father, restore that consciousness of heaven. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.